My name is Peter. I'm from White Plains, New York. I'm a grateful alcoholic in recovery with 252 days, thanks to the higher power God and the people in this room. That's just a little over 8 months. My sobriety date is December 13th, 2025. I thought that was the worst day of my life because that was the day that I was filled with shame, guilt, remorse, anger. How in the world could I wind up in an AA meeting? But I later found out through this beautiful program that it was actually the best day of my life. It was the life that I began a journey of recovery and surrender. And when Amy asked me to speak at this meeting, the first word was, "Yikes! Okay, I'll pray, I'll think about it." And that was on a Tuesday. I woke up on Wednesday. And a voice, which was from upstairs, said, "You're going to Mass today." And I'm like, "It's Wednesday. I'll go on Sunday." "No, you're going today." And I thought of all the reasons why I couldn't go to the 12:10 with the four old ladies who were there over at Mount Carmel. But it was a strong push, and I went. And sure enough, the homily was, "When a miracle happens, you don't keep it to yourself. It must be shared." And I looked up from the pew and said, "I got it. I got to give a talk." So I let Amy know, okay, not only am I going to do the talk, but we now have our title. So here's the miracle. I was a selfish drunk on the path to ruin, filled with an obsession and a compulsion to drink to blackout. And now I'm not. And that's a miracle. And it's a miracle you can share too. And how did it happen? It's very simple. This is my home group. This was the first meeting I went to, and this is the meeting I've gone to most every day for that 8 months. And it's where I got sober. Newcomers, whether it's day one, 7:30, I'm a newcomer too at under a year. And that day one of isolation and crisis, fear, guilt, and shame. When I found this meeting, which was by the hand of God, I went to a therapist and said, you should try AA. And I'm like, why? I'm not a bum under the bridge, because I had no idea. But if you can't stop drinking, or every time you take a drink, you can't control how many you have, you may have a problem. And when I got here, despite feeling it was the worst day of my life, all of a sudden I logged in. It was, "Welcome, Peter. Anyone who's been to this meeting with Rob H knows what it feels like to be a rock star." All of a sudden, on my worst day, I was greeted warmly. And then, in about a minute and a half later, they said, "Okay, let's share our day count." "Hi, my name's Pete from White Plains, New York. I have 4 days." And the place went nuts. And for just that moment, I forgot about all those bad feelings and I felt like a human being again. And I said, "There's something magical here. I'm coming back." So I came to the meetings. I kept my camera on. I shared, because we're only as sick as our secrets. I took notes at every meeting, because it was active listening. And by taking the notes, I was able to then share on what resonated with me. I stayed for most of the after meetings. And let me tell you, magic happens in those after meetings. It's a shame that we go from 130 people for the first hour and then it drops down to 50, 40, 30. Because let me tell you, the after meeting is where it's at. It is just incredible. Another trick I did is I have an ongoing alarm on my phone that goes off every day at 3:30. That means I got about 15 minutes to get onto the computer, to get onto the meeting, so that I can help welcome all the people in the group in. I got the Everything AA app, and I heavily relied on our website, the Newcomers International website. That gave me access to the big book. And what I was told is read the first 164 pages. And when I was just getting sober, it was the holiday time. It was Christmas, it was New Year's, heavy drinking time. So thankfully, I had that big book to read. Thankfully, I had that 12 and 12 to read. And I found out through this group, through the home group, hey, and on the website, if you have 7 days sober, you can get into service and read. because all the speakers kept talking about the key to sobriety is service. So I asked, and next thing I know, I was reading. I got a little bit more time. I got into chat, got a little more time. I got into security. And next, we're going to be knocking off into chairs. So giving back to this group, time after time after time, is one of the secrets to sobriety. And most importantly, I kept hearing over and over, get a sponsor. And when the disease in your head talks to you in your own voice, it goes, well, you don't really need that. You already read that 164. I didn't understand what I read when I read it by myself and I read it online. But I heard multiple times, get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. And when I got that sponsor from our list, the Newcomers International list, his name's Richard. Richard's out of Massachusetts on the East Coast with me. And thankfully, he said yes. Because he devoted a tremendous amount of time to my recovery. And he explained to me that it was helping keep him sober as well. But he did a phenomenal job of taking me through the big book and taking me through the 12 and 12. We didn't go too slow, we didn't go too fast. We went a chapter at a time. So it was, I would read the chapter, then I would call him, we would read the chapter together. Discuss what we felt was important and what everything meant. And we went through the steps together. And through all of this, of doing the work, attending the meetings, all of a sudden there was a true spiritual awakening or a psychic change, as the book talks about. And it is really a personality transformation. Based on all this work, particularly with Richard and this meeting, and thanks to God, the higher power, there was a personality transformation where I became focused on helping other people instead of worrying about when am I going to drink next. And all of a sudden, over this time frame, the desire to drink was miraculously removed. I can't explain it, but it was replaced with this group and the desire to help other people. Before sobriety in this group in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, I was an extreme heavy drinker, but life was good. I had a successful wife. We've been married over 30 years. I have three successful kids, all graduated college and graduate schools. I was a big time New York lawyer. Life was good. But my drinking progressed to heavy and utterly unmanageable. And then, about 2 years ago, at age of 84, my mom, who was fiercely independent her whole life, developed dementia and Alzheimer's. And my wife and I brought her into our home, which was sort of, she was pretty resistant, but that was part of the dementia. But it was at that point of seeing my mom deteriorate that my drinking really went off the deep end because I couldn't cope. I could not emotionally handle it. It was emotional immaturity, and alcohol was my escape, my escape, my escape. She passed peacefully, which was beautiful. But after that, my drinking really then went out of control, even worse than before. And for over a year, I kept saying, I'm going to stop. I'd wake up hungover and swear off alcohol. And maybe a day or two, as soon as you felt better and the hangover wore off, it was back to shaking gin martinis. I was hiding, alcohol behind the cabinet. I was completely isolated, drinking alone. The last straw was I went out to lunch with a cousin and was bombed out of my mind. Went to a bar afterwards, and all of a sudden I got a text from my daughter, who at the time was pregnant with our first grandbaby, her first child, and said, hey, I need a ride to the train. Well, I knew I couldn't take her anywhere because I was out of my mind drunk. And when I woke up the next morning, my wife, non-confrontational and in a loving manner, are you okay? What happened last night? And for the first time, I admitted, I'm an alcoholic. I need help because I can't stop drinking. And that was my rock bottom when I realized that I needed help. So I went to a therapist. She recommended AA. I realized that I was desperate and willing to go to any lengths to stop drinking. And I went on the meeting finder. And sure enough, it was about 3:15, 3:20. And the next meeting up was Newcomers International. And I'm like, one, I'm a newcomer, and it's based out of the UK. They have the best pubs in the world in the UK, the greatest ale you could ever imagine. If these people could figure out how not to drink, this is for me. I have to go. And in my first meeting, Nick M was the chair. The speaker was Susan. She was from Georgia in the United States. And the only reason I know that is because I take notes at the meeting. So I had to look it up. And she said the most helpful thing to me was focus on similarities and not differences. Because there were a lot of folks and a lot of speakers who went through some horrible, horrible situations that I personally, thankfully, did not identify with. However, I did identify with the fact that whenever someone started that first drink, they couldn't stop. And that anytime they tried to get sober, it wouldn't last. And the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking. And then the other magic that happened in this room, because I was struggling profusely with how am I going to do this forever? How am I not going to go see my wife's family in Italy and not have wine? How am I not going to go to part of my background, Ireland, and not have a pint of Guinness? And then I learned in this room that the future doesn't matter, the past doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is today, this 24 hours. Because if I'm sober today, I can be proactive and I can live my life. And it gave me a freedom to live my life and to be part of not only the newcomer family, but also to be there for my family. And after attending over 200 meetings and 200 after meetings and some other online and in-person meetings, I heard a lot of tragedies. And I realized that that's preparing me for the next time life gets lifey and throws me a curveball. And I learned in this room that no matter what happens in my life, I don't ever have to drink again. And I'm never alone. A gin martini is not going to solve any problem. It's just going to make it worse. And I remember when Bill D in this group said, when he was talking about relapse, he's like, you don't want to have a belly full of booze and a head full of AA. It's not where you want to be. So stay sober. If you're having a bad day, call your sponsor. If you're having a bad day, can't get a hold of anybody, go on to our WhatsApp chat. It's an international group. Someone's awake 24 hours a day and ready to help. We do this together, and you can do it. It's just a matter of being willing to do the work, and three little things, like Keith tells us, will change everything, everything, and everything. And then life today is no longer consumed with the thought of the next drink. The hours that I lost being drunk and hungover amount to a minimum of 10 hours a day that I now have back. That's 3,640 hours a year where I get to be with my family, where I get to be productive. I have my life back. I can breathe again. The compulsion to drink is gone, and I'm free to live a life that I was intended to leave, not a slave to King Alcohol. But free to live the productive life of our dreams. This disease does have a solution. It's the steps, it's the fellowship, it's service. Participate thoroughly and fearlessly and get the life you always dreamed of. And you too can have the fairy tale. Because once upon a time in a kingdom called chaos, there was a brave knight named Peter. And although everyone thought I had everything, a good horse, a sturdy castle, a cheerful smile, inside there was a dragon that whispered in my head every day, one more drink will fix everything. I fought that dragon alone for years. Every sword failed, every shield broke, every promise lasted only until sunset. And one day, exhausted, I collapsed at the edge of the enchanted forest, and an old English guide, Nick M., wearing no crown but a smile, approached me from his meeting chair and said, "You can't defeat the dragon by yourself, mate." But there's a path through the forest, and it has 12 stones. Walk them one at a time. So I knelt before that first stone and it said, "You're not strong enough." And I'm like, "What? You don't know me. Who the hell are you? I've climbed mountains. I've fought battles." And the first stone guide, Miss Alia, said to me, "And how's fighting alone working out for you?" And for the first time, I put the sword down and the dragon just got a little bit smaller. And at the second stone that glowed said, "Believe me, help exists." So I was expecting lightning, fireworks, magic. Instead, the guides like Scott R., J-Rod, Leo, Robert H., Bill D., Scruff, Sharon, Kate, Tiff, Claire, Connie, Catherine pointed to hundreds of travelers sitting around campfires, laughing and crying and helping one another. They found a way, and hope flickered. At the third stone was a bridge, and it said, "Leave the map behind." What? What if I know the better way? My self-will is running riot. I know what's best for me. You don't even know me. And the old English guide Keith said, "Let me tell you, your map always leads back to the dragon, mate." And with trembling hands, I handed over that map and crossed the bridge to safety. And at the fourth stone, I was expecting to see that dragon, but instead there was a mirror that showed me my own fear, my pride, my dishonesty, my resentment, my self-pity, and most importantly, my selfishness. And my sponsor, Richard, handed me a quill. I wanted to use Microsoft Word, but he's like, "No, you're going to use a pen and you're going to use paper and you're going to write it down because you can't fix it until the pattern appears." And it was the longest day of the journey, but you can't fix what you don't know is broken. And when I got inside the cave and I read every word of my inventory out loud, I was certain that the beautiful members of this group, Meg, Jess, Juliana, Sunday, Amy, Alyssa, Kat, Christina, Leif, Jonathan, Mark, Margie, Pam, Anthony, Vic, Cindy, Dano, Mary, Terry, Carol, Sophie, Nika, Allie, Megan, Chris, Soraya, Ryan, Sam, Peggy, Julianne, Kojak. I was sure they would all turn around and disgust at my shortcomings and defects, but instead they said, "We understand. Welcome. We're glad you're here." And that cave echoed, not with judgment, but with freedom. And at the sixth and the seventh stones, I was still wearing the heavy armor of selfishness, anger, perfectionism. I had to be right, fear, control, self-will. And the wise guide, Cage, said, "You only have to be willing. Humility will follow." And piece by piece, that armor fell to the ground, and without it, I discovered something surprising. Walking became a little bit easier because it was a lot lighter. At the eighth and the ninth stones, a long road stretched through that village, and every house represented somebody I hurt. And some of the doors opened with tears, some of the
Isn't
doors
that
opened with
a
hugs. Thank you so much. Some of them didn't open at all, but I knocked anyway, and the dragon hated every apology. And the dragon shrank with every amend that I made. And at the 10th stone, daily, I realized that my boots were collecting mud every day. And thanks to the guides like the Green Lantern Chris, Tom F., Alan, Joel C., the legendary Bob L., Rob Andre in Spain, Emily and Melissa, they said, "Clean off those boots each night because a clean heart stays lighter." And at the 11th stone, deep in the forest, I finally stopped talking and shut my mouth. And there in the quiet, I heard the higher power. I heard God, I am here. And I tried to discern his will for me. And at the 12th stone, there was no big castle, but there was a gate. And beyond that gate was another traveler who had fallen exactly where I fell down. And the traveler said, I can't beat the dragon. And I smiled, neither could I. But come with me, I'll show you the path. And together we walked back to that first stone. Years later, people told stories about the brave knight who defeated the dragon, but I had to correct them. I never defeated the dragon. I simply stopped feeding him. And every morning I chose to walk the path again. And we all lived, not happily ever after, but gratefully in gratitude, one day at a time. Thank you all so much for saving my life, each and every one of you. I'm so glad you're here, and we all do this together. My name's Peter, and I love you all. God bless.